Tetap kita berdiri semuanya.
Let's all just still stand up.
Saya yakin berapa di antara Anda yang belum kenal pembicara kita pagi hari ini.
I know that some of you don't know our speakers today yet.
Ini kali kedua mereka datang ke Melbourne, saya kami undang.
This is the second time we invited them to Melbourne.
3 tahun yang lalu kami ketemu mereka waktu kami conference di Cape Town.
3 years ago we met them in a conference in Cape Town.
Pastor Prophet Jojo memperkenalkan saya dan istri dengan dengan Pastor Bishop Jurey.
Pastor Jojo introduced us to Bishop Jurey.
Pastor Jojo bilang ini teman baik saya dan dia sangat-sangat baik di dalam bicara tentang iman.
And Pastor Jojo said, "This is my good friend, and he is so good at preaching about faith."
Dia mengembalakan 100 hamba-hamba Tuhan dari 100 provinsi, dari 100 gereja di seluruh provinsi Filipina.
He shepherd around 100 pastors around all the province of Philippines.
Tapi dia tetap humble dan dia bisa juga punya anak 6 di tengah kesibukannya.
But he's the most humble person I know, and he also still managed to have 6 children under his wings.
Mari kita welcome Pastor Bishop Jurey.
Let us so welcome Bishop Jurey.
Morning, everyone. Let's just get the chance to read the word before anything else this morning. Genesis chapter 26, starting with verse 1. It says, "Now there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land. I will be with you and I will bless you. For to you and your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven, and I will give to your offspring all these lands. And your offspring, all the nations of earth, shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws.' So Isaac settled in Gerar. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, 'She is my sister,' for he feared to say, 'My wife,' thinking lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance. When she had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of a window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. So Abimelech called Isaac and said, 'Behold, she is your wife. How then could you say she is my sister?' Isaac said to him, 'Because I thought lest I die because of her.' Abimelech said, 'What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us.' So Abimelech warned all the people, saying, 'Whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death.' And Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flax and herds and many servants. So the Philistines envied him." Lord, we pray this morning that you would open our eyes and open our hearts to receive your word beyond what I myself could share, Lord God. That you would speak to us, Lord God. Lord, that you would work in our hearts, Lord God. That you would bring us to an understanding about the simplicity of obedience, Lord God, and the power and the fruit of simply obeying you and walking with you. Many times life can be complicated. Many times the challenges can be overwhelming. But Lord, what a blessing it is to realize that life is really simple. It's about walking with you, and it's about relating with you, and it's about obeying you. And though it may be difficult, but yet it is simple. And the joy of simply walking with you can cover everything we will ever face. So pray, we pray that you would raise up in your church here a people that will believe and follow you for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for this opportunity to share and minister with you. During the second service, I realized I really love this church. Amen. This is the first church that the menu for lunch was part of the announcement. I really love this church. Amazing. I got so excited after hearing that. Pastor Agus, I have a suggestion, though. Maybe you should make the announcement for lunch before the offering. I have a feeling you'll have a bigger offering. Oh, no, I'm just... It's so nice to be excited about the simple things in life. Amen? And sometimes life can get so complicated, but a simple meal, a nice meal, can be a comfort to the heart and fun among friends. I learned... very early in life, there are two things make a good meal: good food and good company. Amen. I don't know about you, one of the saddest things you can ever do in life is eat alone. Yeah. And it's a joy to have I was telling Pastor Agus, I'm so encouraged to see people hanging around even after the service. And I do hope that you find that simple fellowship encouraging and life building in our as we go on following Christ. And as we go through this, I was remembering working on this. My wife and myself have been married for 28 years. And for about the last 15 years, except last year, 12 or 15 years, our anniversary celebration has been the same. We go to the same place. We have this place we go to in about 6 hours, 4 to 6 hours from Manila, depending on the traffic. And it's up in the mountains. It's one of the places we can feel a bit cool in the Philippines. And cool, I mean about 25 degrees. We have three seasons in the Philippines: hot, hotter, and hotter. We have about 36 degrees, 34 degrees to 38, sometimes 40 degrees throughout the year. So now you can imagine what my wife and myself have been going through the last few days here in Australia, trying to look for hot or warm places around different parts of the house or wherever we're staying. So we go to this mountain resort in the Philippines. For the last how many years, we practically stay in the same hotel. We practically go to the same restaurant. And we practically have the same schedule. So we go up. The moment we get there, we have a place where we go to lunch. And my wife's niece joined us. They were newly married, and they went through with the same schedule we did. But anyway, and they decided to go somewhere else after that. So we have the same place. We have lunch in the same place. Then we go to the hotel. We check in, and we have dinner almost in the same place. Then the next day, we wake up in the morning. We have breakfast in the same place. Then we go to this place where we pray. It's surrounded by trees, and it's cool, and we talk about our children. So we have six. We talk about what's happening in their lives, what the challenges they're facing, and then what we're thankful to God for and what we're believing God for in their lives. And then we get the time to pray. Then after we pray, we again go back to the same schedule. We have lunch with our pastor there. And after lunch, because our pastor's wife is an ophthalmologist, we get an eye checkup. So we get our eyes checked. The best time to get your eyes checked is during your anniversary. So after that check with the doctor, we go back to the hotel. We rest. Then we have our special dinner where we go out And then the next day we go to market very early in the morning to buy things for the house and the kids as well. And then we go to church and I minister, and then we go down and go home. So every year it's been like that for the last 13 years, and it's been a blessing. We enjoyed it, the time together. But 2 years ago, we, because of the schedule, we couldn't do that again. So we went to another place, and this time near the beach, a little bit closer, about 2 hours away from Manila, former U.S. base. And we stayed in this hotel because it's a good friend. One of the owners is a good friend, and they give us a good discount. So we got there. We called him. He booked a room for us. When we got there, we were really blessed. They gave us a small suite for the price of a regular room. So we were very thankful for that. But the next day, when we woke up, we were supposed to go, we were on our way to go somewhere. On the way out, the front desk got our attention and informed us and said that somebody had already booked the room we were staying in way before we booked the room. So they have to transfer us to another room. So they asked us if it's possible so that our schedule doesn't get affected, just get your things ready, and they'll move our things to the next room that they have for us. I was thinking whether I should negotiate, because I don't want to repack everything again and then move to another room. And I didn't like. I was thinking, could it be possible that they give them another room instead of us moving to another room? And I was thinking all of this, but finally we just decided, my wife and myself, will say no. We'll just flow with what the hotel says. So we don't want to create a commotion, because I'm a pastor and a friend is an owner. They might say, oh, these pastors, they're grumpy and everything. So I just smiled and said, let's go. So we went, and they told us, be back by around 2 o'clock because the room will be ready. So we went around. We had lunch somewhere. Then we went. It's a place where you go duty-free shopping. So we went duty-free shopping for a while. And then went back to the hotel around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we got back there, and then the front desk said, sir, we need a few more minutes to get your room ready. So I'm thinking, I already arrived 2 hours after what you told me, and the room is not ready. But again, it's my friend's place, so I'm trying to control myself. And so we decided to sit down in the lobby, and we were just waiting. And then finally they said, sir, after a few minutes, they said, sir, your room is ready. So they bring us to the room, and the moment they open the room, there's no lights. It's just dark. But then I noticed there's candles on the floor that look like a pathway. And they did give us a bigger room, a bigger suite, and now we have a balcony with it right facing the beach. And there's no lights because it's candle lit all the way to the bedroom. It's like a footpath. And then the moment you walk in, there's candles on different parts of the room. And when they put on the lights, there were rose petals all over the room, on the floor, on the bed. And the towels were folded. There was a swan. There was a. It was amazing. There's a big fruit basket in the middle, and we were just so encouraged and so blessed with what the hotel or what my friend went out of his way to do for us. I share that because I realize obedience to God many times works in the same way. And what do I mean by that? We did not deserve that treatment in that hotel. We didn't pay for it. In fact, we got a discounted rate. So if anything else, we should have been in a big toilet rather than in a suite. We didn't demand for it. We didn't earn it. But we simply followed what my friend planned all along. Yeah. My friend, our friend, planned to bless us for our anniversary. And it was set way before we got there. Yeah. Because the hotel did prepare for it. And all we had to do was a simple decision. Obey or disobey. Follow or complain. And thank God that we were able to obey and follow, and we enjoyed the blessing our friend prepared for us. So many times in life, I know life can be complicated. I know we face challenges in life, and sometimes it's one after the other. Sometimes the challenges we face can pile up on each other, and many times we don't understand what's happening, and we think life is so complicated, we don't know what to do. But I realize this, that many times, despite the complications we face, life is really simple. Not easy, but simple. And if we can simply realize this, that many times it just simply boils down, are we going to obey God or not? And if we can find the grace and the courage and the joy to obey, I believe we will walk right into what God has planned for us. As we jump into the scripture we read earlier, we get into the story in the life of Isaac, where he's facing a famine, the Bible says. And the famine was so bad that he started thinking, because his father, many, many years before that, faced the same, a similar famine, and moved to Egypt for a season until the famine passed and went back. So now, Isaac is in the midst of trying to follow what his father did, and he's preparing. So if you were Isaac, when you think about it, Isaac was in a very desperate situation. Why? Today, in our world, when there's a drought or when there's a projected famine, we can prepare. We have the technology to tell us what's up in the future, therefore we can prepare. But for Isaac, there was no technology of that sort. In other words, Isaac just found out that life was getting more and more difficult as the days passed, to the point where it's becoming close to impossible, that he starts thinking, I have to go somewhere if I want to survive. Now consider this as well, that for Isaac to do this, it's not an easy task. Unlike today in our world, when you find yourself in a place that's not very promising, you can actually check out different places around the world to check the opportunities. You can actually fly there for a few weeks or a few days and check it out if it's really what it says it's supposed to be. And make a decision whether I should go there, then go back to your place and then prepare. For Isaac, there was no such thing. So when you had to move, that meant you had to move everything. And what does that mean? You had to move your tents. You have to uproot everything. You have to bring all your children and the children of all your servants and all your people. You have to bring all the cows, all the sheep, all everything. And as you do, so you could imagine how long did it take for someone like Isaac to simply prepare to go. So I can imagine a week or two, just folding everything back, preparing the food on the way. And think about this as well. The danger you put everybody into, because you have to pass through places where security is a major concern. So here you are, and now, but Isaac is moving because he's desperate. He's looking to a place where he will find solutions to his problem. If I go to Egypt, I will have what I need. If I go to Egypt, my family won't survive. I will survive. My family will do well. Then a day will come when we'll come back. So here goes Isaac. He's moving, and as he's moving along, he goes through the land of the famine. He gets to a place called Gerar, and then something happens. And what happens? He encounters God. And God shows up, and this is what God says. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land." So here he's walking. He's having problems. He's looking for the solution. And he's in this place where the famine is affecting him. And God says, "Stop. Stay there." Now, it would be a different story if Isaac went and look at the land and says, I think this can work. Lord, is it all right to stay here? But it's not that at all. He's going because there's nothing there. And God says, "Stop. Don't go there. Stay here." I can imagine the arguments during their prayer time. How many of you sometimes pray and realize you're arguing with God rather than praying? We all go through that. I could imagine Isaac doing the same thing. But God says, "Stay." Then God says, "I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your offspring, I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham, your forefather. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." As we go on, as we go through life, I want to share with you some three simple things that I hope mark us for life. Three simple things I believe we need to embrace. Three simple things that we believe with all of our hearts will change the way we live and will bring us to where God desires to bring us. And the first thing is this: the simplicity of understanding that we serve an unchanging God. Yeah. We serve an unchanging God. And what a comfort and what a confidence builder to know that in a world that changes so fast, we have something we can stand on that never changes. And that's our God. God said, "I will bless you." God tells him, "Stop. Stay here." Why? Because I will bless you. Did you notice that the will and the plan of God did not change because there was a famine? The plan and the will of God to bless him did not change because he changed geography. The plan and the will of God did not change because he had a change of plans. From the very beginning, when you look at the life of Abraham, God called Abraham to bless him. That's another story, but when you come to think about it, God called Abraham a wealthy man to more blessing. Sometimes it's hard to understand, but that's the nature of God. God calls Abraham, "I will bless you." God gives Isaac to Abraham because he wants to bless Abraham. Now God is calling Isaac because he still wants to bless Isaac. We serve an unchanging God. It doesn't matter what happens in our world. It doesn't matter when things change. It doesn't matter whether we understand everything or not. God remains the same. His will and his plan to bless us still stands. God's blessing is not elusive. It's not impossible. It's not a dream. Why? Because it is his character. Yeah. It is his will, and it is his plan. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast." Your faithfulness, think about it. Your faithfulness endures through all generations. There is no one in our world that has lived and will live in the future that will not see the faithfulness of God. In fact, the scripture is very clear. Though we are unfaithful, He remains faithful. I love the worship because reminded us that God is faithful. We can worship Him. We can stand with Him because He's faithful. Amen. You know, religious people will say, you never know what God will do. God is a mysterious God. And you know, I understand what they're trying to say. But I know what God will do. Maybe not the specifics, but I know God is always faithful. Amen. I know God always stands by His word. Yeah. I know God doesn't change His mind. Yeah. I know God's will is the same. Amen. What a blessing to know that we serve an unchanging, faithful God. Hebrews chapter 6 in the Message Bible. I've been reading the Message Bible lately. I've been enjoying it. Hebrews chapter 6 in the Message Bible says this: when God wanted to guarantee His promise, He gave His word a rock solid guarantee. God can't break His word. And because His word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. Wow. You know, having 6 children, one of the challenges is finding yourself having made so many promises you cannot fulfill. You know, I don't like going to, I'm glad that my youngest is now 13, so we're past that age. But there was a time in his life, I don't like going to the supermarkets. I don't like going to the mall because they have these brochures which says specials and the toys and with explanation what the toys are. You know what I mean? And I don't know why. But they have this gift that they want to talk to you when you're sleepy. Just when you're about to sleep, they'll say, you know, Dad, you have to see this. And they'll explain to you how it will help them in life. Those of you know what I mean? Then they'll ask this question, can I have this? They don't even look at the price. Can I have this? And you start, and you know that if you explain, it's not going to end. So what do? I tell them, we'll see. That's all I said. We'll see. And they look at me and says, promise? But here we find a scripture that tells us that God is not running away from His promise. He actually looked for a way where I can guarantee it, where I can tell you, where it can be clear to us that what I said I'm going to do, it's guaranteed. That's right. God is unchanging. One of the truths that we hear is that we don't have to run after the blessing. Why? Because the truth that God never changes, and part of that never changing truth is that God already set up His blessing for us. You don't have to run for it because He's prepared it. Yeah. It's right there. We have 4 adults in the house now. 3 of them have finished university, and 1 is about to start university. 2 are in high school. But one of our children, at a certain point in university, because of the traffic in Manila and the work in university, asked us one time if she could stay in the dorm instead of going home. And the house is only the house where we stay in the university is like only 12 kilometers away. But because of the traffic, it takes so much. It's so difficult many times. So at first, I didn't want it. I said, you know, you can just go home, whatever, we'll take. There are days when you can take the car. But she kept saying, so finally we said, okay, we agreed, go to the dorm. And so she stays in the dorm Monday to Friday, sometimes goes home Saturday and goes back Sunday. And after a few weeks of doing this, so she doesn't get to eat at home anymore. Then one Saturday morning, she wakes up, and my wife had prepared breakfast, and there were other things. But there was eggs, fried eggs. And she went to the kitchen and saw the eggs and took the egg, put it in the plate, and sat down and said, wow, fried eggs. You know the funny thing is? That's in the house every day. All she had to do was to go there, go home, and she can have it anytime. Because it's prepared. She doesn't have to earn it. She doesn't have to pay for it. She just has to go there. If that's the nature of parents, what do you think the nature of God is? Yes. Amen. Wow. Unchanging God. Then secondly, simplicity of the unchanging call of God. God says, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land. You see a clear call to obey. Do not go. Stay. There's a call to obey. We live in a world today where it says technology and science has opened our understanding and our truth to many things in the world. Our religion or obedience to God is no longer a necessity. We can make decisions on our own. But when you read the scripture, it's really simple. Obey or not obey. In fact, so much of our problems in the world of today is the fruit of man's disobedience through the years. Yeah. If we simply obey God, the world will be very different. There's a clear, the call of God is simple. Obey or not obey. I know there's a struggle. I know there's a fight. I know that because there are days that I was hard-headed. Have you ever heard people say, experience is the best teacher? I don't agree. I believe the Holy Spirit is the best teacher. Amen. But when you're like me that can get hard-headed, sometimes experience becomes the teacher. And when experience becomes the teacher, our reaction is, ouch. Yeah. We don't forget experience because it's painful. To obey or not obey. Now, if you were Isaac, can you imagine what's running here? Lord, stay where? Lord, you understand why I'm going. You understand why I packed everything to go there. I can picture God said, yes, I understand. And you want me to stay? I can almost see God saying, you understand, you don't understand why I'm telling you to stay. But I have a plan. To obey or not to obey. There's a clear call to obey. The second thing in this that we see is not only there was a clear call to obey, but the call to obey came with a promise. God said, stay. Why did he say stay? He called him to stay because he says, I will be with you. I will bless you.
For to you and your offspring I will give all this land, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring. And he goes on and he goes on. I am telling you to stay because I will bless you. In a sense, God was saying, don't go there. I've got nothing for you there. Stay here because everything I have for you is here. What an amazing. Now, he can't see it because it's all dry. It's barren. Yet God had something set apart for him. I realized as growing as a Christian and reading the scripture, every call to obedience comes with a promise. Every word from God comes with a promise. Every a challenge that God puts in our face or in front of us comes with a promise. When God said, pray, it came with a promise, right? What's the promise? The promise is, I will hear and I will answer. That's why we pray. If there's no promise, why will we pray? But we pray because God says, when you pray, when two or three of you are gathered and pray in my name, I will hear from heaven. We stand with it and we pray because God made the promise. Every call to obedience comes with a promise. When we are called to go, what was the promise of God? I will be with you to the ends of the earth. I ask your pastor to tell his story all over again. Why? Because it's a joy to see God stick to his promise. When you go, I will be with you. When we are called to give, there is a promise that it will be returned to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. What a promise. Now, how many of you understand what that looks like? I know it very well. See, when I was young, when I was about 5, 6 years old, I did not eat very much, and my parents would get mad at me because I would eat, then I would bring it out. But when I hit about 8, 9, 10 years old, I started eating and never stopped. You can see it. So about 13 years old, 14 years old, my mother put me on a diet. So she said, you can only have one cup of rice during the meal. So I know that was not enough. So I made a... I told my mom, okay, I'll agree with it, but make me prepare the cup. My first attempt was to look for a cup this big. Couldn't find one. The second thing is because my mom, when she would put the cup, she would get the rice. You know, they loosen everything and just put it in there. I said, no. I would get the spoon and press that rice down in that cup and put it again and press it again and put it again. And every part of that cup has to have a grain of rice pressed down, shaken together. And there's a last spoon on top where there's a mountain. See, when God calls you to give, he promises that I'm going to return it to you prepared and overflowing. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. When God called us to tithe, there's a promise. What's the promise? That the windows of heaven will be open above us. It's a joy to know that despite the limitations of our world, there's a way that God provides that's beyond the natural means that the world can give. I enjoy tithing. One is because it gives me a chance to go beyond the limitations of what I can do. And believe that God can provide above and beyond.
what we could ask or imagine. When there's a call to discipleship, there's a promise that the nations will be reached. So many times the world says Christianity is dying. That's not true. As long as we keep going making disciples, one of these days the world will be shocked with how God reached the world with simple people simply heeding the call to make disciples. The day is coming. Don't get discouraged because God made a promise. The call to obey is not really a call to live by the law, but it's really a call to live under the promises of God. Yes. Lastly, the simplicity of seeing an unchanging inheritance. And this is the part that really got me excited when I was working on this. I believe our obedience does not give us rewards with God. I hope we saw that God prepared His blessings right from the very beginning. That His call to obedience is simply guiding us to go to the place He's planned and provided for us. That's obedience. So it doesn't give us rewards with God. Although we all notice that the more we obey, the more we see God's goodness and God's graciousness over our lives. But then I began to see here, and this got me really excited, that our obedience actually sets a foundation of blessing for our children. Now, many of us are parents here. We do everything we can to make sure our children live in a better way than we did. That they have a better start than we started. That we can give them, that we can look for ways that they can go higher than what we could ever imagine in their lives. Yet in the midst of all that, we know that there are things beyond our control that we can't control. It doesn't matter how much you've built up for your children. It can be lost overnight. But then you see in the scripture that our obedience, our desire and our passion to obey God and to live for God is actually a foundation of God's blessing for our children. And when that happens, it doesn't matter whether it's beyond your control or not, whether it's too big or not, because we know God is always in charge. Look at this. I got so excited. He says, "Stay here, I will bless you. I will give this to your children and to your offspring. I'll give this." In verse 5, he says this. Why? Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. It's almost like God telling Isaac, "Hey, Isaac, I have so much planned for you. I have a blessing for you because your father obeyed me. Because your father walked with me." What an amazing inheritance we can leave for our children. And we talk about this as parents. We talk about leaving an inheritance. And there is a scripture that says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And we only think about that as money or material things. But the more you read scripture, I begin to realize it's not just about money. It's really more than that. And one of this is a foundation of obedience that paves the way for our children and their children. First Kings 11, verse 34. Now, this is talking about Solomon, and he was already rebelling against God, and God's judgment was beginning to fall on him. Then God says this in verse 34, "But I will not take the whole kingdom out of Solomon's hand. I have made him ruler all the days of his life for the," what? "For the sake of David, my servant." Why? "Whom I chose and who obeyed my commands and my decrees." Wow. What an amazing inheritance. God looks at Solomon, "Solomon,
You have cursed yourself. You have brought this upon yourself. But I'm withholding some of this because your father obeyed me. Because your father pleased me so much, I made a promise to him that I will bless you. Can you imagine what, I'm trying to imagine what it will be like with our children. That one day when God looks at our children and says, because of your father, because of your mother, I will bless you. And you know the amazing thing about that? That blessing will overcome anything, anywhere, anytime in the world. It's not bound by geography. It's not bound by economy. It's not bound by the dollar exchange rate. It's not bound by opportunities or lack of it. It goes beyond it because God is unchanging. Wow. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 3. This is a king in David's line, but quite a distance away from him already. 1 Kings 15, 3. He says, committed all sins his father had done before him. His heart was not fully devoted to the Lord, his God, as the heart of David, his forefather, had been. Now think about this. It is not just he who was a sinner, but his father was a sinner as well. And it's almost like God saying, you are a pain, your father was a pain. I can imagine God saying, your grandfather was a pain as well. But then he says this, look at this. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord, his God, gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by raising up a son to succeed him, by making Jerusalem strong. For David had done what is right in the eyes of the Lord and had not failed to keep any of the Lord's commands all the days of his life. What an amazing truth. What an amazing inheritance we can live for our children. I hope and I pray, it's our desire that we see the power of this, the power of simple obedience. It's not just for us, but even for the generation before us. We may not understand how things work in the future, but we do know something. God is in charge. Yes. And when we live a life that's under God, he's in charge even of our children. Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. Look at this. As we close, and Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants so that the Philistines envied him. Now think about it. Isaac sowed in the land. I'm reading this. I'm trying to imagine how did this work out. I can imagine arguments with Isaac and his men. He says, he tells his men, we have to plant. And his men probably look at it. Plant where? Can't you see it's barren? It's famine. Can't you see the ground is so hard? I could imagine their tools getting destroyed while trying to till it. And going to Isaac, are you crazy? And Isaac says, Isaac has no answer except to say, yeah, maybe I am. But God said so. You know, sometimes, isn't it, that there are things we feel like God wants us to do and it's absolutely crazy in the world, to the world. Why did you do it? Because you just felt like God said so. And you only see the benefits of it years later or time after that. The argument to plant is one thing. The argument to watch the plant through time was probably another argument. Okay, let's do it. But nothing's going to happen. A few days later, see, I told you, nothing's happening. But the Bible says, because they obeyed, he reaped 100-fold in that year. Wonder what we'll reap in our lives as we continue to obey God. I wonder, and this is, I'm excited about this. I wonder what our children will reap because of our obedience. Yes. We can actually secure our children's future with the way we live every day of our lives. As we close, last scripture, Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And being found in the appearance of as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. We have the joy of salvation. We have the joy of a relationship with Christ. We have a joy of having purpose and destiny in life because of the fruit of obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, who went on the cross. When the world said, you're absolutely crazy, dying for people who hate you and dying for people who are rebelling against you. And even today they say that Jesus was crazy because he died on the cross for nothing. But we all know the truth of that matter is that we have a life that can make a difference. We have a life that's supernatural. We have a life that's joyful beyond what happens here. We have a life that goes beyond the limitations of the world because there was a man who obeyed God. As we obey Christ, his obedience affects us, and our obedience affects the next generation. I don't know if anybody here, you might say to yourself, well, I wasn't very obedient to God for most of my life. The joy is this, that it was Christ's obedience that gives us a brand new start. And it is Christ's obedience that makes a major difference in our life and in the generation to come. What an amazing future that is ahead of us. Because Christ obeyed all the way to the cross. May we find that power and that fruit of obedience in our lives and in our children and their children. Can we just pray right now? Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, we want a great future. That's why many of us are here. We prayed for this. We believed you for it because we believe this is the place that you've called us for our future. And even as we're here, Lord God, and even as favorable the situation is where we are, we know it's not because of what's happening in our world, but it's because of your obedience. Thank you, Lord, that we can live under the blessings of your obedience. I want to pray with some of you. I want to lead you in prayer. If there's a desire in your heart that's saying, Lord, I want to obey you. Now, I'm not talking about perfection. David wasn't perfect, yet the description of God is somebody who obeyed him for all his life. We have mistakes, and mistakes don't disqualify us from following God. But what's important is we stand up and keep following God. So if there's a desire there, that says, Lord, I want to obey you. Can we just pray this morning? I just want to lead you in prayer. Just pray this prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that your obedience on the cross has put me in a place of blessing. Thank you for this life with you. And I pray and I make known to you today that I want to obey you. Lord, I'm weak. I had many struggles in the past. Yet, Lord, deep down, I want to obey you. So I ask you for your strength. I ask you for your grace. And I ask you for your leading that I might obey you. That my children and their children might live under your blessing. That you might even be able to use me that others may discover the fruit of your obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Church, may I please invite you all to stand. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens, as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names.
Sebelum kita tutup dengan doa, kita berdoa buat Pastor Bishop Jure dan Dea.
Before we close in prayer, we will pray blessing for Pastor Bishop Jure
and Dea.
And Pastor Dea.
Yeah. So Dea, you told me that you wanna have so from your 6 children, each you have five grandchildren. Saudara bisa bayangkan kalau dia punya 30 cucu.
Can you imagine if she has 30 grandchildren?
Tapi bagi Tuhan gak ada yang mustahil.
But by God, there's nothing impossible.
Karena Tuhan selalu mendengarkan doa orang tua kita.
Because God always listens to the prayers of our parents.
Cuma yang membingungkan kita sebagai orang tua, 30 cucu, bagaimana kita ingat namanya dan ulang tahunnya.
It's just sometimes what will confuse us is how can we remember all the names of the 30 grandchild.
Okay. Saya inginkan supaya istri saya berdoa buat Dea.
I want my wife to pray for Dea.
Dan saya berdoa buat Bishop Jure.
And I pray for Bishop Jure.
Father, we thank you this morning that they are with us, serve you. And we want to learn from them, from their faith. Even though they have 6 children, they are very generous in their spirit.
Thank you, Father. You bless their children. You, what the children's dream, Lord, I pray that you fulfill their dream. You bless them, each of them, their future and their purpose in life. Thank you for their, in Jesus' name we pray.
Hallelujah. Pastor Bishop Jure, apa yang Anda sampaikan mengenai inheritance?
Pastor Jure, what you said and deliver about inheritance?
Anak-anakmu tidak akan terlantar satupun.
Your children will not miss out.
Tuhan akan memberkati hidup mereka karena kalian berdua.
God will bless them because of both of you.
Walaupun kalian tidak terlalu berlebihan dalam hidup ini.
Even though you live in just enough.
Tapi anak-anakmu akan diberkati lebih daripada hidupmu.
But your children will be blessed even more.
Biarlah Allah terus berbuat baik dengan hidup kalian semuanya.
Let God show his favor and do goodness in your life.
Karena Allah tidak pernah mengingkari janjinya.
Because God promises never fail.
Bagi saudara yang sudah dengar firman Tuhan tadi.
For those of you that heard the word of God.
Baik keluarga maupun anak-anak muda yang hadir pagi hari ini.
Families, youth, teens, and everyone in this church.
Obedience membawa kita kepada destiny yang Tuhan mau.
Obedience will bring us to the destiny that God has for us.
Sekalipun kita kadang-kadang tidak mengerti apa yang menjadi kehendak Tuhan dalam hidup kita.
Even sometimes we don't know what God's plan is in our life.
Tapi obedience akan membawa Anda kepada destiny yang sudah Tuhan tentukan.
But obedience is the vehicle that will bring you to His plan.
Setiap kali Anda baca firman Tuhan, Anda harus bisa obedient.
Every time you read the word of God, you will have to be obedient.
Jangan baca firman Tuhan karena pikiranmu, tapi baca firman Tuhan karena engkau ingin hidup seperti apa yang Tuhan inginkan.
Don't rely on your mind when you read the word of God, but rely that you want to live the life that He planned for you.
Biarlah engkau diberkati Tuhan karena engkau melakukan firman-Nya.
Let you be blessed by God because you obey His commandments.
Apapun situasi keadaanmu sekarang ini, Tuhan bisa membalikkan semuanya untuk kemuliaan nama-Nya.
In whatever circumstances you have in your life, God can turn bad into good.
Kiranya Tuhan berbuat baik dalam hidupmu.
May the Lord bless you.
Dan memberkati hidupmu.
May He protect you.
Dalam nama Yesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
So you can listen Pastor Jure tomorrow 7:30 here. Okay, thank you. God bless you.